Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this.
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven.
I shouldn't make that joke. Maybe I'm eating because I'm sad.
I'm starving.
Maybe I'm pregnant. I don't know.
I'm definitely stressed.
I know my wife's not pregnant.
Insert all the jokes possible here. What are we doing? Is this how we're going to start a show?
I'm hungry. I'm just really hungry.
Is this how we're going to start a show?
I'm going to be club.
Is this Steve Rummage in the building? Nikki V in the booth.
I'm going to start reviewing food.
I got barbecue sauce in my hand. One sec.
I don't really care. I don't need a crowd at this point. I need to. I might start doing YouTube food reviews. I'm going to move to Orlando, and I'm going to start reviewing Disney food.
Somebody just stole that idea. Thanks for telling everybody.
I don't care. There's, 100 people do it now. I watch them all the time. It's what I go home and watch, Marcus. I go and watch vloggers in Orlando area.
I would watch the hell out of that.
Nikki V in the booth. Nikki, what's good, my man?
Well, you know.
They want the booth.
Nick, let's start a YouTube channel and let's review foods.
You know, okay, I had an idea with Biscuit, and you would fit right in with us. It was called, we were going to call it OnlyPans.
Okay.
And we were going to make an OnlyFans, but it was just going to be us taking photos of meat. And like brisket.
I think that's what OnlyFans is.
It is, right. But hear me out. Like, as we kept going, I was like, this is genius. Because, I mean, I'm not one to kink shame, but I imagine there's some people that actually, you know, do get aroused around, you know, a nice tenderloin or something like that. So we could cater to that niche market.
Nick, there's people who have sex with animals.
Well, this is kind of doing that, but also a dead animal. So, and I'm sure there's groups that do that, too. Anyway, I'm saying there's all that, but...
Is this a coping strategy,
yes,
what we're doing?
It's 1,000% a coping strategy.
What we're doing right now.
But in for a penny, in for a pound.
I'm dead.
The idea was this. Yeah. I've never bought an OnlyFans or paid for one, but I imagine it shows up on your credit card somehow.
I would imagine.
And I imagine, maybe... your significant other saw that, they'd be a little miffed.
Well, most of us don't leave our phone around the house.
Well, that's a good point. I'm learning. But if you subscribe to Biscuit, Nick, and now Romage's OnlyPans, when they see that statement, you can be like, oh, that's just those guys I listened to. They did that thing with the steak and everything. I think it's funny. And then, meanwhile, you're sneaking in, you know.
What are we doing?
Truffle Slut 69.
What are we doing?
You got her as well.
What are we doing?
OnlyPants. It's a genius idea, Marcus.
What are we doing?
Well, who cares? I don't know. I've been
exactly.
I've asked that for the last 12 hours. I've said that more during football and basketball games this year. That should be the theme of the show.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Which moves us into the theme of today. You know what the theme of today is? This is fan. Appreciation Day.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This is Fan Appreciation Day.
Giving out bobbleheads or something?
This is Fan Acknowledgement Day. You know what this is today? This is the worst day for coaches. This is the worst type of day for a coach, right? And this, a day like this, Steve.
Well, and our football and basketball coaches have had some bad days.
This, a day like this, Steve, re-energizes the passion of a fan base. Right?
Do tell.
Do tell. I knew I would have.
I was like, wait a minute.
No. I knew I would get everybody's attention with that statement.
I mean, I lowered the bar pretty good with OnlyPants, but
you want to know how this re-energizes a fan base? I'll tell you. Because when you are a sports fan, a real sports fan, you know what you like to do? You like to
win.
Be smarter than your friends at the barbershop.
It's true.
You like to know more than your kid and be able to teach him, hey, son, this is how you do that. Hey, honey, come in here and check this out real quick. Hey, honey, see when he sets that screen right there and he does this? Mm-hmm. This is what they need to do.
Yeah.
That's what sports fan life is.
Yeah. Hey, son, if Malik keeps this, I'm going to jump off the balcony.
Right, right. Yeah. Like that was a proud, prideful moment for you.
It was.
Okay. And a lesson was learned on that.
Cheer for somebody else. That's what he learned.
Steve, days like this, when I say re-energized, is because...
It's so hot. I turned it down.
There are going to be a million more conversations. When I say reinvigorate, sometimes, let's just use a Coach Patino, for example. He has those bad three games late in the season. Then he goes on and wins the Big East, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes ends up, you know, in the Elite Eight,
yeah,
with his team, or the Final Four.
Yeah.
You know what that day is? That day is deflating. Look, while you're celebrating, you know what you got? You know what happened? You got humbled. Rick humbled you. You know what he said? Shut up.
Yes.
I know more basketball than y'all.
Yeah, he did.
So shut up. Because that week when he lost those games, Steve.
Thanks for reminding me of that. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I lived through
it. Do I remember the time we lost to South Florida and Syracuse and then went on to win the Big East and go to the Final Four?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember it.
But do you remember how many people got humbled, though? Do you understand the
did
point?
You just stab me with a butter knife.
No.
Why are we going through our ex's pictures,
no,
man?
Because this is important. This is important.
It's like we still have our ex's Zillow.
Wait. You know what?
This is important, okay. Steve. An acknowledgement.
Mm.
When coaches humble you and say, see, I know more than y'all. So next time you think you know something, carry that humility in there. Because next time you see my team lose, shut your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get in there, mm-hmm, and you call into the studio and you say, you know what? I'm disappointed in Rick, you know, losing that game. But he's an awesome coach, and let's move forward. Right?
Yeah.
That's what you normally have to do when these coaches humble you. When I say today reinvigorates the passion of a fan base, because now every single fan that knows anything about sports can sit in front of their TV and scream at the coach like they know more than the coach. They can sit, they can call into the radio station, and they can sound off,
mm-hmm,
like they know more than the coach.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying? That humility does not exist with this fan base now. And they don't have to. Because I'll start the show saying, like I said, everybody knows me. I give more benefit of the doubt than the law allows when it comes to the difficulty of coaching. Right? But everybody in this fan base, every fan of sports has eyeballs. And if you couldn't see a long time ago,
mm-hmm,
that Malik's numbers were not going to be able to go 27 minutes, we're not going to be able to continue playing basketball at this level without an inside presence.
Yeah.
If you could see that, I could see that, every fan could see that. And kudos to y'all for not rioting. Literally rioting over the amount of minutes Malik has been playing since he's been back healthy. Quote unquote healthy.
Yeah.
And I do mean mentally and physically. You knew that. We watched Sidney Curry. We watched him at Logan. We watched him and Jamarion Sharp at Logan, Steve. You and I watched when Jay Scrub was at Logan. And you know what we said, Steve? And you know what everybody sat when I played Jay Scrub highlight videos? You don't want to know what every fan said? Who the hell is that big 7-foot kid? I'd like to have one of those on my team. Rumor has it we had a shot at him to put on our team as well.
Who's Sharp?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a rumor. It's a fact.
Right?
Yeah.
Like to have one of those on my team. Right?
Yeah.
And when we didn't, I mean, when Jay Scrub, you know, made his move, congratulations to him and stuff like that. And then, you know, fast forward to getting Sidney Curry. And we watched the way he ran up and down the court and he finished. And we knew that the goal did not change. It's still 10 feet. That kid's still 270 pounds. And he knows how to move people off the block. And he knows how to get a basket. Right? Mm-hmm. We saw that. And we saw the people he was playing against. This wasn't Sidney Curry against Aiden Gahan's competition. You know? This was Sidney Curry against Jamarion Sharp or with him, but that level of talent. He was on his way to Kansas. We got eyeballs, coach. Malik Williams cannot be out there 27 minutes against Navy. We watch Roosevelt Wheeler run up and down a floor. We watch pick and pop and pick and pop and pick and pop with Jared West and Malik. And we say, that's not going to work for an extended time. I mean, coach, we watched Sidney Curry in 8 minutes of basketball tally the same numbers as Malik, or extrapolate numbers the same as Malik. Mm-hmm. 8 minutes compared to Malik's 32 minutes. I said, well, hell, JJ Trainer and Roosevelt, you know, they were combining for that number. We watched Malik get blown around. We watched him miss tip-in after tip-in after tip-in. We watched him fall. Have to play 5-on-4. We watched this, coach. Coach, we watched this. I know that you want this practice result, but coach, either they're taking it too, they're either too soft on them in practice, or it's not translating to the game. I got eyeballs. Everybody has eyeballs. This is the day coaches loathe because you know the fans were right. You're not using your bench. You're not using the rotation. You have your favorites. That's just the scariest thing. A fan base, players, that's the scariest thing you can see is a coach looking like he's giving passes to the players he likes versus substituting and giving everybody equal opportunity.
Okay, now the other side. You said the scariest thing. The scariest thing to me, This is batting the ball over to the other side of the desk, because everything you said is 100% right.
Fair enough.
So I'm not disputing you right now. To me, the scariest thing is for fans, and the reason why you're getting the reaction you get is you're mad. Who you tell? Tom? Vince? Neely? Do we have anybody over there that actually holds a real position? No? You're all interims? Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll just
ride it out.
Shut up and deal with it. And that's why Louisville fans feel the way they feel today. Or, well, over the last week. I mean, you as an AD told me you loved, as an interim AD told me you loved what Scott Satterfield was doing. Well, you must be enjoying the hell out of this then. Basketball season must be a fun ride. Because, my God, we got a winning record, you know. And it's like, I just, that's where I'm at today is, and I like Chris, the man. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this. I don't do that thing. I don't do that thing where it's like, well, I got friends on the staff, so I can't say no. No, to hell with that. Okay, I'm sorry. I want to win, dude. I want Louisville to be good.
And we have the talent to do it.
We have the talent to do it.
See, yeah, that's when things feel different. I'll tell you what. I have to apologize for this, but we got to take a quick, early commercial break. A quick, early commercial break, and I'm coming back. I'm loading up my chamber right now. Middays with Marcus Maven on 939 The Ville.
Konnichiwa!
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Lawrence, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
What's up, Marcus? Steve.
What's up?
What up, man?
You remember after that, when Patino lost to South Florida, he said after the game, I know how I need to coach this team now. You think Matt came to that point last night after that bad loss? Because right now, he's fighting with himself because he knows what he needs to do for this team to win. Mm. But since he made some promises to certain players, it's hard for him to go back on his word. Like right now, man, you got to do what you got to do, what's best for your career and best for the team. Because if you keep keeping your word like this, it's going to cost you not only the tournament, but your job.
No, Lawrence, I appreciate the call, my man. Here's the thing, Steve. When you talk about coaches, beginning of the year, coach tells you, I'm going to be able to have a deep roster. You know, first couple of games, you see a coach, you see defensive pressure, right? You see defensive pressure, individual players, right? When you see a coach, he says the things that need to be done to win.
Yeah.
Okay. If Steve, if I ask you, how are you going to be successful? And you tell me, Marcus, I'm going to be successful by waking up earlier, you know, spending more time, you know, in the books, you know, spending more time doing this and this and that. And I say, okay, I know Steve knows how to be successful. Now, Steve might not know some tactic or something, but I know he knows the baseline things to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So if Coach Matt tells me, hey, using my depth, guys are not going to – think about this. Guys are not going to play extended minutes like they think. They're going to have to play hard 3 and 4 minutes. Okay, I hear that out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I know you know.
Yeah.
What this team needs to be successful. So I felt comfortable – putting my head to pillow, saying, at least I know he knows, right? And then I get in this season, and I see when you come back to coaching this team, you are not doing exactly what you said you needed to do to be successful. So if somebody says to me, Marcus, you sold me a dream. No, I didn't. Well, he said it. He knows. I said it to you because I know he knows. Now, if somewhere in between the Marcus, I'm gonna do this and do that, he decides not to do that, that's a decision he made to abort the right thing, right? So I can still sleep comfortably by saying, hey, you're messing this up. You're tactically screwing up. You knew I gave you all the answers to the test. I know you knew the answers to the test. But somewhere in between, the answer, you forgot your pencil, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. you have a roster that can play 3 and 4 minutes. You can substitute Malik, Matt, Noah, Ellis, West, Davis, Trainer, Curry, Wheeler, Wisnitzer. Yep. You can substitute each player based on a possession or two when they're not doing their job. You can do it. You have the resources. You told me you knew you had the resources. We both sat here and agreed. You have a talented roster. You told us going into the season. I've told the kids they're not going to play more than 4 minutes straight. Every good coach has said the same thing. Every good, great coach has said the same thing. You can't play 5 minutes all out.
Yeah.
Unless you're a superstar in superstar shape. We hear the same. We know what a great coach sounds like. Nikki, can you play the sound of a great coach? We've been listening. With this Kentuckiana area, we've been listening to great coaches our entire life. You said the exact thing that you're supposed to say as a great coach at the beginning of the season. You stopped. You did not execute what you said the plan was.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, your kids are not executing what you say the game plan is. Nikki, listen to this great coach.
You can talk about all the motivational speeches and phrases and devices in the world, but the greatest motivator of all is your ass on the bench. There is no better motivator. Ass meets bench. Bench retains ass. Ass transmits signal to brain. Brain transmits signal to body. Body gets ass off bench and plays better. I mean, it's a hell of a sequence of things that takes place. Well, it might be for you guys.
That was from the great Bobby Knight. Every coach knows that, Steve. And when we watch Jalen Withers, okay, I don't want to sound too spicy on this, but we've watched a season of bad play, subpar play out of Jalen Withers, mm-hmm. with flashes of good moments. We've watched Malik, flashes of good moments, but a lot of nothing, a lot of times. We've watched it with our own two eyes. We watched the standard of substitution pattern be different for Malik and Jalen Withers. And last night, Steve, the most uncomfortable moments are when you and I are on the phone and we say, did he just take out Ellis 2 minutes into the second half? And Malik is still in the game? When we watch Malik stab at the ball, and not get on the ground, and fumble and flop around with the basketball, trying to dribble, and we see other guys get subbed out of the game, and then I look down at my phone, those moments where you say it, and then I say it, and I get 5 text messages of former players and fans all saying, Why is Noah Locke still in the game? And we all say that simultaneously. We say that, and it's just like, so that means all of us saw Ellis go out in the second minute. You disciplined him on something you're not disciplining other people on. We see it.
Mm-hmm.
We see it, Coach.
Well, and the problem is, here's my thing. This is year 4. Year 1, I know what you called him. Year 2, we had, you know.
You mean year 1?
Yeah, year 1.
Yeah, you say year 4. I know what you called him. You meant year 1.
Oh, okay,
year 1.
Okay, okay, yeah, yeah. It's year 4 now. Year 1, I know what you called him at Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, okay, well, you're going to get your own guys in there. Okay, well, year 2, pretty good year mm-hmm. overall, I think.
Yep.
You know, you tried to teach Jordan a lesson, of all people.
glad Jordan was the guy you wanted to teach a lesson. You go on, you know, we go to year three. Like, well, you're just missing some position here. Whatever. Now year four, we're back to, I don't know, the players just aren't consistent enough for me. I don't know what I'm getting out of the players. Your effing job is to figure that out. Figure that out. Because what I'm watching is I literally sat there with every other Louisville fan on planet Earth and said, I mean, no way Malik and them will come back out in the second half. Is that the same starting lineup? We made a run. We were on an 8-2 run.
We closed the half on a run, Steve.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. 14-point game.
Game's over.
You're not digging out of this hole.
Game's over.
Yeah, you're not
17
digging
points.
Yeah.
You're saying 14. I think it was 17.
Yeah. You're not digging out of this hole. Now you look to the bench. Sydney, you want to save us?
Again. Again, Steve. You want to save us again?
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. Do you want to try to – you want to save us here? Mason, we're 15 times better when you're on the floor. Do you want to go play now? Okay, guys. Cut it back to six. And then you say, I can say in the final 5-6 minutes, kudos to NC State. They hit a lot of big shots.
Yes.
Shouldn't have been there.
Yes.
Okay. But listen, now you can press.
Yeah.
Now Jarrett West. Hey, Jarrett West, get up on the ball and harass the ball. Just wait till we're down 15.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have that energy early. Don't substitute with that level of intensity early. Don't demand that intensity out of Malik.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Just wait. Wait and let guys figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
Coach, I mean, listen, we listen to you. We know that's your style.
Yeah.
But that's the opposite of what you said you would do going into the season. We all knew Mason, Ellis, West, we all knew they had a different, know a lot. We all knew they had different, they were different weapons.
Yeah.
We knew you were going to be able to substitute every 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And when people were screwed up.
I don't understand it, man. I just.
Noah Locke played 32 minutes. I'm not bashing on the kid, coach. Noah Locke played 32 minutes. What does Noah Locke do good, Steve?
Shoot.
Okay. What is he not good at?
Everything is not shooting.
His defense has gotten better. I'll see myself out.
Slightly. Slightly.
You know who Noah Locke is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you confused him with somebody else on the floor.
He can shoot. He can shoot well. Can you go look up what Noah Locke's shooting was last night, please?
On it.
Look up what Noah Locke's shooting is and tell me, is that 32 minutes worth of on-court? Just give me his stat line. And tell me that Noah Locke earned 32 minutes.
I know.
And L. Ellis.
Again.
Who's the only guy that can get to the basket on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Tell me that Noah Locke earned 32 minutes on his stat line.
L. played 16.
He played twice.
And you've watched L. down the stretch be one of the only guys that can down the stretch just take over games.
The most competitive player on the team is L. Ellis.
Yeah.
And we would say
nowhere to be found.
We would say Noah Locke is probably one of the more docile players.
Absolutely.
On the team. And again, this is not me bashing, just speaking what we can see.
He's 24 years old. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. You're right. Give me the stat line of Noah Locke in 32 minutes.
All right, so Noah Locke, 32 minutes of play, 4 of 8 shooting, 3 of 5 from behind the arc, 2 for 3 from the charity stripe, and he had 4 rebounds. 3 assists. 2 steals.
Sounds like statue would accrue in 32 minutes.
13 points.
You were on the bench for 8 minutes of the game.
Uh-huh. Also had a play where we cut it to 5.
And he's running down the floor. The rebound comes right to his spot.
Come right to him.
They take the ball right from him.
Come right to him. He turned around, took off running. Guy took the ball, goes up and scores.
Steve, you could stand on the dotted line for a basketball game.
Yeah.
You can stand on, like, think about this, Steve. If you stood in the paint
mm-hmm.
for 32 minutes, right?
Yeah.
In a chair for 32 minutes. And they just say, hey, Steve, you got to stand right here. Just stand right here on this dotted circle, right? If you stood in place at the dotted line for 32 minutes, Steve, and you were not allowed to move,
yeah,
you would get 4 rebounds.
At least 2.
At least 2.
At least get 2.
At least 2.
Yeah.
If you stood there in 32 minutes, yeah, you would get 3 to 5 wide open shots if you just stood there, Steve, and never moved.
Yeah.
Literally, if you just eliminated the 3-second rule, 32 minutes, you could go 3 for 8 if you stood still.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to the phone lines. Jeff, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
Hey, Marcus, how you doing?
Good, good.
Hey, I listen all the time, first-time caller. Hey, I've been noticing these players look awful buff we got. Looks like they're spending a lot of time in the gym. You think that's slowing them down some or throwing their coordination off? And I know a lot of the guards we're playing are skinny and, you know, thin, and but looks like they're getting the job done, and our guys aren't.
Jeff, I appreciate the call. I've always questioned the conditioning. I mean, Coach kind of says the conditioning is playing the game, and getting conditioning through practice, getting the conditioning through that.
Well, that was definitely a difference. The first major difference in philosophy we saw from the very beginning was the bulk up pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, oh, we're used to that. You know, yeah. So that's. I mean, yes, maybe, but that's a philosophy thing. You know, it's like I'm not really going to nitpick at that.
Jason, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
I'm just going to keep it real short and simple. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
I've never seen a team so unmotivated, and they don't want to play for them anymore. We're spoiled because we're used to a certain brand of basketball around here. Rick spoiled it for us because
you don't think the other lineups, but you don't think the lineups with Sidney and Davis and all those guys were playing hard?
Yeah, but in total as a team, I just don't think they just look unmotivated to me. I could be wrong, but it just looks because we're used to a certain brand of basketball. We're used to pressing, half line, dunking, getting up and down the floor. He said the offense is going to be faster than it has been. It's slower than it has been. It's even slower. He said we was going to press more. He pressed in the last 2 to 4 minutes. With Mac, I just don't understand his basketball philosophy. So I've been watching basketball a long time, them, and when they call me Louisville Jason, I'm a barber. I cut hair on campus. So when I don't know what time the game time is, I don't know when they're playing. That's a problem because I always know when Louisville plays. Mm. I always know when, you know, something. You know, I always know. And when I don't know what time they play, and I'm not keeping up with them, that's a problem. So. I don't know. I hate to say we need to move on from Mac, but I think we need to move on from Mac. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Listen, appreciate the call.
Let me say this about one thing he said, because I think he was partially right. Mm-hmm. This is my opinion. Just talking to people, just kind of gathering, you know, what I think. Not gathering direct information, but just you hear conversations from families, from different things, and you say, okay, I'm putting 2 and 2 together, blah, blah, blah. I don't think the entire team has quit, you know. Yeah. But I do think that there is on this team
growing frustration.
A growing players are side eyeing the coach. Like, this guy shouldn't still be playing. Or this guy should be playing. I do think that there is and that can happen every year.
Every team.
But I think it's a little like closer to players like saying, hey, man, if you're going to do this, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
I'm not.
And again, you and I, Steve, we're the last to cross that bridge.
Oh, yeah.
You and I make sure the women and children are off the sinking ship before we go down with the ship.
Oh, absolutely.
Until we say, okay, I am going to make sure that these parents – do not make sure they have a legit case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Make
yeah.
sure these fans have a legitimate case. You know what I'm saying? And again, you called it, Steve. When you saw that lineup go back out there, and you saw L. Ellis go right back out there,
mm-hmm.
or Malik and Jalen go right back out there, and we had that dead 8-point game to 17-point game, or 8-point game to 14-point. We yeah. saw it with our own two eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm the parent of L. Ellis and watch the way he's played, if I watched that with my own two eyes,
I mean,
and I watched Noah Locke play 32 minutes, I got to call.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm JJ Traynor's family, I'm saying I just need at least, because we still have a lot of eligibility left.
Right.
I just need a legit explanation as to why he's not playing, mm-hmm. and if he's not going to. Like, if you don't like him, let me know.
Yeah, like
let me get him out of here. Let me get him somewhere else. Yeah.
How many games? Like, if we did if we just iso-cammed Jalen Withers, if we iso-cammed him and iso'd his minutes and iso'd his opportunity to play through mistakes, I would have a legit case in court, in the people's court. I would have a legitimate case, Steve. And that's why you say, hey, coach, Mason Faulkner can get to the free throw line. We have been shooting three-pointers all season. Noah's had three hot games or hit some big shots. He's not had a hot shooting season.
Mm-hmm.
They crowd Noah Locke. They run him off the three-point line. He is only effective when everybody else creates something for him.
Yeah.
He is a weapon. He is not an effective guard on this team. He's not a good passer at all. Ryan McMahon, if we said, let's just say hypothetically they could shoot the same, Ryan McMahon was better at every other aspect of basketball than Noah Locke.
Every other
aspect. You know what I'm saying?
Then what? What's the one?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, if we just made them equal, if I hypothetically said they both are shooters.
Okay, right? I got you.
But everything else, he's probably our poorest ball handler. Would we admit that?
I saw the Malik.
I mean, Jesus Christ. As a guard.
Yeah.
He's our poorest ball handler.
Mm-hmm.
He's our poorest passer. Right?
Yeah.
He's... Cross looked bad on defense a couple times. I didn't notice it as much in the game. He gave up some good. So a lot.
He's a freshman,
huh?
He's a freshman. He played 10 games last year.
Right.
Noah Locke is in his fifth year of college basketball.
He played 32 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unacceptable 32 minutes. He's been playing this number of minutes too.
Well, and then there's this. I know a lot of people talked about this, and I had this sent to me as well, a little bit of the exchange. Mac gets on Withers in the timeout. It wasn't on TV. Withers starts yelling at Mac. Like, and they're fighting like a dad and a kid.
When I hear something like Withers unhappy, I'm like, unless you're unhappy with him teaching you fundamentals and you thought he should do a better job at teaching you fundamentals.
That's not happening.
That's, you know. But I'm like, unhappy. The rest of the team is unhappy because he's been trying to make you happy the entire time.
But the problem is like this text said, he put him back in the game after that interaction. Like, can you imagine what we've saw around? And the only thing I can compare it to is what we've had around here, and that's Patino and Crum. Can you imagine a player
yelling back at one of them in a timeout?
Like Cam.
Everybody remembers Cam Murray getting pissy and Coach Crum yelling at each other. And he sat on that bench and put a towel over his head because he knew he was done.
Yeah, and you're lucky you got to sit on the bench.
No, he didn't. He sat on the floor, actually.
Yeah, okay, then there you go.
He's actually on the floor, Steve.
Ass meets bench. Bench retains ass.
Period.
That's got to be a new thing. I want that.
Joel, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
What's up, fellas? Been a minute, but, you know, to me, everything you guys are talking about, it's almost like the inmates are running the asylum. Because like you said, and Steve, your kid's in youth sports. My kids are in youth sports. And we use this term a lot. And what's crazy is I'm relating this to Power Five college basketball. And it's almost like daddy ball, man. And I say that because it's like everything you're saying, like this kid should get more minutes than this kid. And it's almost like Mac has his loyalty to certain kids, and he's going to just die with those kids. It doesn't matter if they're the best player to be out on the court at that time, like a Noah Locke or whatever. He's just loyal to these other kids. The outcome doesn't matter. He's just rolling with that. Because we all know the different tweaks and everything we would like to see, but he's not doing it. Unless the guy literally lost his basketball IQ, why would you not do all the tweaks we're talking about? Because you're literally, your loyalty is to certain kids. My thing is, at the end of it, the bottom line is when I turned on the game, and I haven't watched many of late, but even last night when I turned it on for a few minutes, I saw offensively come down. There was a set. There was no set.
Right.
Literally a kid dribbled around, stopped. There was all the other four kids were standing. Nothing was happening. No flow, no anything for an offensive set. So it's just not Louisville basketball. It's not the brand. My question to you, and maybe you've already talked about it. I don't know. I didn't hear it. But it's 4 years in. If at the end of the year they don't make this tournament, where else do you go? Because to me, the fans,
right? Football, we understand.
Is secondary, not secondary to me, but Louisville is a basketball top 10 program of all time. There's no way they should be taking 16-point home losses to an 8-8 NC State team, man. So something has to be done. I don't know where you go, Kenny Payne, whatever. Bring somebody in because we need some excitement down in that Yonk, dude. All right, guys.
It's a fact.
Later.
Later. Harold, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Man, we all know what the worst four-letter word in sports is, so I'm not going to get out here and use it, but that caller was on to something earlier when he was talking about maybe the team not necessarily playing hard for Mac. Last night at the end of that game when NC State won going away, I mean, I don't know what you call that. I really don't know what to call that other than a word that I'm not going to say about this team. That I mean, we were in contact. We had a chance if we were digging it out. And then all of a sudden, not only did, you know, it was an 8-point game. It was an 8-point game. And it ballooned after that. So, I don't know what to call it. I'm not going to say it about this team. I'll reserve judgment to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that's pretty close.
Right. Fair enough.
That's pretty close.
Right. Yeah. Appreciate the call. Kevin, thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Maven. Fire away.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, I just need a couple things I wanted to go over. It just seems like whatever that they said that they were going to do, they need to go back and just erase that, you know, because it's obviously somebody told Malik he can dribble. They told Withers he can dribble. Every time both of them dribble, it's a disaster. And he's got them shooting threes. And there's a couple things that I notice when I go to the game. And like I said, I can understand people have superstitions and things like that, you know, put your sock on a certain way. But it just bugs me to see both of them shooting from the Cardinal arm, you know, before they go in. I mean, why are you practicing these far shots?
Right.
Work on your little moves or something, but that's just a little pet peeve. And another thing I noticed at the game is when we were getting off and Sydney was going crazy, everybody was standing up, but Malik was sitting down, and he wasn't hurt. And that disturbed me, too. But, you know, getting to these stats, man, you know, Noah Locke played 32 minutes. So did Dre Davis. He didn't do much better. Y'all not talking about him. And, you know, and then, as far as,
because Dre Davis can play defense.
Dre Davis got to the middle of the paint. That is the worst comment. You've made a lot of bad comments.
Come on, man.
That might be the worst.
Come on, guys. Come on.
That might be the worst.
Man, y'all do that. Hold on, man. Just give me a break with that, man. Y'all try to act like I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you obviously don't.
I've been watching these games.
Because Dre Davis got to the paint five times. Well, I don't care. I don't mean you're better or no more.
No, I'm just saying.
Because you've watched more games.
And I know what I'm – let me finish what I'm talking about.
Well, I might. I might, but I'm the host. I'm one of the hosts of the show. So I may or I may not. That's my
decision. Well, let me finish. Hey, Marcus, can I finish?
Well, we'll see.
Can I finish, Marcus?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, no. All
hurry up! We got to get to the next caller.
I don't.
We got a loaded bank.
My problem is I don't have a problem with you
guys
just
draws from
criticizing players, but you got to be equal across the board. I mean, Matt Cross had four turnovers and only played 14 minutes. Outside of him putting his finger back in place,
what is your point? Yeah, what the hell is your point, Kevin? What's that? What's the point of that?
Is your
point, we didn't say Matt Cross was good.
Is your point that we don't criticize equally?
Yeah, like,
is that the point you're making?
Who the hell said Matt Cross was good last night?
Y'all say he's good anytime. Y'all probably give him a C by the end of the
see,
show.
See, that's ignorant. Get him off here, dude. Like, get him off here.
I just said.
Man, that's ignorant.
I just said. I went back and Matt Cross played terrible defense.
I know. Like, Matt Cross was crap last night.
And Kevin, the reason we responded like that is because you saying that that you don't mind us criticizing, but we're singling out players and criticizing different. That accusation is why we both responded the way we did. We're talking about every single player on this team and their performances and the coach. You, and here's the thing.
We knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, he's done that.
We knew you were going to do that.
He's called in here for years since Dan Goodell was around, just trying to be. And you know what he used to say? Y'all too hard on Dan Goodell.
I know.
You just don't like Dan Goodell.
Yeah, like, dude, you've been doing that. That was 2017, Kevin. So don't act like you don't.
I did appreciate the G.I. Joe reference.
Yeah, right.
That was.
Don't act like you don't have a reputation.
You were doing that in 2017.
Dre Davis is the only guy on this team.
Marcus, I don't understand why you're so hard on Dan Goodell. Because he's snowbirding. He's gambling and he's snowbirding. Kevin, I know what it looks like when you try to go for a steal and you don't get back in the play. And then if somebody else gets the steal, you get the fast break dunk. I got eyeballs.
And don't do that crap where mom don't agree with you, so you go ask dad. Well, Marcus, I'm going to ask you. Dude, you don't think Marcus don't agree with me?
Mom, can I go outside? No? Well, I'm going to go ask Dad. Dad, can I go outside?
Like, dude, just call another show, man. Call another show.
Hall, thanks for joining us.
Does Kevin know when he calls in? I'm sorry, Hall.
When
he calls in, literally the text line starts lighting up with people like, I'm turning it off until he gets done. Like, dude, so don't, stop. I'm sorry, Hall. You deserve better than that.
No, man, what's you don't up, have man? To apologize. You're laughing, and that's what we need right now. We need somebody to lie. We're at that point. Here's what I would say. One, I'd like to apologize. You had everybody calling in and who was going to be the star at Florida State, and I said Cross. And that's kind of my point today. Cross is the reason we lost. He's not a bad kid. He's a great kid. He hustles and all that. He just missed way too many shots in that game. He hits three of those, we win. I mean, and he knows it. See, that's the other thing. Marcus, you played. I played. When you make a bonehead play or you miss all those shots, you look at your teammates and you go, man, I owe you one. So, fast forward to last night. Cross misses one shot, he pulls him. He's not letting him find himself. He doesn't start Locke. What does Locke do? He goes out and shows us, you know, and plays real hard and gets some points real quick. You know, kind of – but there's no plan past that. You know, the whole game as a coach is to be ahead of the players, is to kind of nurture them. Or some need a kick in the ass, some need to be praised, some need to be nurtured. But we're – the reason the fan base is freaking out is we're not seeing any of this. You know, and we're seeing mistakes that we don't like here in Louisville. We're a knowledgeable fan base. I know you get the Billy Joe who calls in every now and again. We just need to fire the coach and flush the toilet and all that. No, but I mean real X's and O's.
Right.
There's people here that know what they're talking about. How about this? We're all so worried about getting back on this pack line defense, we don't get these big bouncing offensive rebounds off the threes. You know, everybody's already back, so they're so panicked. Mm. You know, that was kind of Rick's thing sometimes. He had teams that couldn't shoot because they were so scared to miss. You know, and I don't know what the remedy is. If I did, pay me the seventh highest paid coach in the nation. But the zone worked. You know, at 13-8, I was like, wow, we're rolling. Then it's 18-16. Then it's 33-19.
Yeah.
Just let
quick
these runs happen.
Yep.
At 50-56, though, we played zone. There looked like a plan. We started feeding Curry. And then back to nothing. No, it looked like no plan at all. Mm. And then here's the saddest part of last night's game. They look like grade schoolers who something worked, like feeding Curry, and you're down 15, and they still keep feeding him, like, please help us, big dog. And it's like, he can't score 15 points in one play. And if you keep forcing it, we saw what happened when you force it. I mean, they just don't have a plan. That's my thing. It's like, okay, we won't start Locke. We'll give this guy, and then what's the plan after that? There isn't one. And if there was, we'd see it. You know, we're a knowledgeable fan base. I think you let Cross get out of his shooting slump. I think you're playing the wrong guys. But, you know, that's just me. I'm losing faith. Mm. Like, I know maybe he's going to – and here's the weird part about this, guys. I think we'll beat a Duke. I do. We don't know with this team. But I know who was having fun on our floor last night, and it wasn't Louisville players. It was North Carolina State. And I don't want to be the team where people find themselves and start celebrating on our floor. There is nothing worse than playing a bad team and watching them like, oh, man, we can fall.
Yeah, watching them get confident.
We're watching other teams get confident off of us, where we could probably be the Duke on a good night if everything's clicking and the stars align. We have the body.
But now you got to wrap it up. It's the Oscars. You got to wrap it up.
Well, listen, keep us laughing, guys. It's the only positive show I can think of. And I'm kind of down, so try to keep me up.
Appreciate it, man.
Definitely.
Wrap it up. Thanks, guys.
Wrap it up, old boy. Midday Sparks is back on 93.9 The Bill.
Good morning, I'm Nick Valvano, and the SportsCenter update is brought to you by WingZone. Get the ESPN Louisville special, 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for just $9.39. Cardinal men, they lose their second straight ACC game, 79-63 to NC State last night at home. A bright spot for the Cards, Sidney Curry with his first career double-double for U of L. The Louisville big had 22 points and 10 boards. That 22, exactly twice as many points as the starting lineup's combined total of 11. Coach Mack postgame frustrated with the consistency on this team.
I feel like I'm reevaluating constantly. I don't know what I'm getting when I put a player in. Usually when you put a guy in, you know, like what he's going to bring to the table, you know, and to have three starters at halftime out of the five with 0 points. I'd be outscored 31-6 by the starting five, only then go out and get down 8-0 in the second half. I have no explanation.
Tonight, number 3 U of L women, they host Syracuse coming up 7 p.m. at the KFC Yum Center. Let's get lit, everybody. LIT results from yesterday. Male tops manual 75-65. Cards commit Caleb Glenn. He had 19 in that one. Doss tops Trinity 68-56. Butler beats Fern Creek 79-68. And Ballard topping J-Town 61-50. Semifinals are set to take place from Valley High School on Friday. Doss will face Butler at 6 p.m. Mail and Ballard, they tip off around 8. The SportsCenter update also brought to you by Bear Nose Pizza. Yeah, it's that good. More middays with Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage next. This is SportsCenter.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.